And so time is one of those things. But when we invest in our relationships with each other, it helps mental health because now I feel valued. That's what God, the whole Bible is about time. He's like, come worship me. Come sit with me. Come talk to me. I'm here.
Yeah.
And then when you do that, it produces better things in your life, right? You have better harvest. Now my thoughts are clear. I'm not so scatterbrained. I'm not feeling down on myself like I'm the biggest idiot, you know, this side of the Serengeti because this is what somebody said I'm supposed to be doing on social media. No, God said I'm valuable. God said I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So when I invest time in the word of God, it produces better harvest in my life than necessarily spending time doing something that's not productive.
Welcome to the Loving God, Loving People podcast, where we talk about what it looks like to follow Jesus in our everyday lives and how, in the end, all that matters is God and people. Here's today's episode.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. Dana, you're back again.
I am.
We keep asking you to come back and do the podcast with us, and you keep saying yes. So thank you. One day, if you don't see Dana on the podcast, that's because she blocked our phone numbers and decided she has too much work to do. But thank you for being here
with us. Never. Lindsay will find me.
Yes. Yes. Come knock on the door. Have a microphone ready. Today, I want us to talk about mental health.
Okay.
And you your profession is child psychologist. You work with kids, helping them really deal with what's going on in their headspace and to get to a place where they are healthy. And mental health, I feel like, has become such a buzzword in culture right now.
Yeah.
But there is some importance to it. And it's unprecedented times when you think about what technology is doing to kids' brains and being on tablets and cell phones and social media and all of that. Yes, everybody had difficulty as kids, as adolescents. But everything is magnified by technology,
bombarded,
social media. Yes.
All the time.
So what would you say to a parent who's listening going, man, how do I be mentally healthy? And then two, how do I help lead my kids to be mentally healthy?
Yeah. Part of it is we have to learn to disconnect. I know it is so hard because everything is in your phone. Everything is just coming at you all the time. I used to joke with my kids that TV went off when I was a kid. Literally, it was the news, Johnny Carson, played the American anthem, and we're done, right?
Yeah.
Well, now it doesn't. And you have three-year-olds watching Mickey Mouse Clubhouse at like 3 a.m. Why is this? You know what I mean? They should be asleep. But they're bombarded all the time with this. We have to teach them to disconnect. We also have to teach people it's okay to have quiet time. Like, it's totally okay because it helps your brain to calm down. What happens when we're listening to technology or watching it and it's blinking in our faces all the time is our brains are constantly going. It's like bleep, bleep, bleep. It doesn't know how to stop. As adults, we have to do it. Like, I can't tell my kid to have screen time or set the screen time on my child's phone.
And then you're over there scrolling.
My thing is scrolling for like, you know, 87 hours a day. So I think part of that is example. Part of that is partnership. It's electronics off, everybody at the table, we're going to play a game.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to go back to some simple things. Uno, you know what I mean? And it creates conversation and it creates space so that our kids can tell us what's wrong. And then it also, I think, for spouses or friends, community, when you turn off those things, it helps us create space to be able to talk about those things that are bothering us as well.
Okay, so turn off technology, turn on conversations, and get to know the people that are living in the house with you.
That part.
It is so easy. I'm just going to speak for myself in my house. It is so easy just to go, okay, everyone's occupied doing their thing. There's peace in the house. Nobody's fighting. You know, we got TV upstairs. Boys are playing their video games. They might be fighting a little bit with each other over that. Emma, our daughter, she's downstairs watching TV. Lindsay and I, we can go sit outside or whatever. And then inevitably we pull out our phones and start scrolling or
sitting next to each other.
Yeah.
Where we should be having conversation, but yet, oh, look at this. What happened on here? It's like, no. You know, we have to do that. But I think also in creating that space is that we do have to find a way to fill it because then we will default to the muscle memory of scrolling.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where we say, okay, what are we going to do in the space? We're going to play a card game. We're going to have a devotional. We're going to just talk. Pick a topic. You can put topics in a hat and randomly pick them out. And then now we're going to talk about it. And it doesn't have to be heavy. It can be something fun, something simple. You know, where would you go if you had, you know, $42 billion? You know what I mean? Yep. So you create fun environments for people to talk. I think one of the big things that we have forgotten is that we are relational people. You and Chad teach us that all the time. we've forgotten how to actually have relationship because social media is an oxymoron. Mm-hmm. You actually are not being social.
Anti-social media.
Exactly. You're actually alone scrolling. Mm-hmm. There's nothing social about it. So we've forgotten how to be social. Kids on a playground at recess, they don't have a tablet. Mm-hmm. So they have to learn.
Yet.
Right?
Wait,
how to play.
Wait and see.
Exactly. As I say that, I'll probably pass a park. But they have to play with each other, or they look to play with each other on the slides and things. And so we have to get back to that space. It is okay to not have an electronic.
I love everything that you're saying right now. And I'm picturing in my mind the resistance
this
idea will be met. when we say, okay, TV's off, we're going to get together and have a conversation as a family.
Oh, my kids will be like, what?
My kids are going to be like, what did we do wrong?
Exactly.
Like, this feels like a punishment.
Like,
what
did we do? What happened? Who died? What's going on? Are we moving? You know, that's my kids' big thing. Are we moving? No. Who's moving? But they do automatically have this, something's wrong.
Which?
No.
The resistance, it's okay. Kids are going to resist everything that you're talking about, just like they resist eating healthy food,
They
resist, I don't want to go to school. I don't know if I want to go to church. These are things that are good for you. And so we're going to push through that resistance. We're going to push back on it. And what I've observed, those times that we do say, we're going to have a conversation, we're going to turn off, eventually they come around.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually they accidentally start having fun
and
or enjoying
laughing,
the conversation.
And we're playing and all of that. And I think a lot of the mental health that we're facing today really is a combination of things. It's the increase of social media from COVID, right? Because it really bothered me in COVID when it was like social distancing.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're just physically distancing. Mm-hmm. So it's that wordplay. But when you say social distancing, then you introduce this idea of isolation and things. But from that, the contrast is that people spent more time on social media, right? We're all in the house. I mean, I understand the restrictions and things we had for COVID, but why are we not talking in our house? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like we're all, like you said, all spread out. So now we have to sort of desensitize that and say, no, socialization is a conversation with someone, checking in. And people can do that through a multiplicity of things, you know, exercise, go for a walk and talk, put away your phone and just have an area where you're going to talk about it. Because if you don't talk about it, you'll act it out. And that's the thing with kids. You want them to talk so that they don't act what they're feeling.
Yeah, that's so good. And there's something that happens when if you can engage in an activity, at least for my kids, when we engage them in some kind of an activity, there's conversations that are happening kind of in the peripheral all around. Yesterday, our daughter wanted to get our dog a pup cup. So he had a birthday. And
that's so
if
cute.
You're like, our dog birthday's a thing.
They are.
To my daughter, they are.
They are.
She was devastated that I wasn't going to run out and buy a cake that was made for dogs for his third birthday. But I said, okay, let's go get a pup cup. But we're going to walk instead of getting in the car, driving over there. We're going to walk. So it was a long walk. And in the process, there's lots of conversation happening.
Yep.
And it's little things and it's big things. And we're processing. And that's where some of that mental health and even just the security of knowing mom and dad are interested in me. Like they care to ask questions. They want to know what's going on in my life and in my world. There is something really healthy about that.
It is. And we also remember we want to give them the truth. So we want to have this environment where they feel free to talk. Mental health, it has become like a buzzword, but this is what God told us. He told us to meditate on his word day and night so that we make our way prosperous and we have good success. So when we're meditating on his word, then we're not meditating on the chaos and the crazy. But what happens with social media is that it's always there. And then I feel bad about myself because of this person's whatever. I don't even know this person. But all of a sudden, I'm like the biggest idiot in the world. I'm awful. I'm not pretty. I'm not, you know what I mean? Like my entire world sucks because of what I'm seeing. And then that begins to play mentally. That's why it's important to disconnect from that and go, okay, wait, I don't know this person and that's probably not real.
Yeah.
But it's hard to do that as a kid or as an adult. So we have to make space where we're like, no, let's look at what's real. What's real? Trees, butterflies, puppies, you know, and come back to the beauty of that so we can see the beauty in our lives and reset our thinking.
Yeah, social media, it's so curated, right? It's this is what I want to be perceived as. I'm going to put that out there. I laugh sometimes when I look back on family photos. Family photos are
the
it is the most stressful day of my year
when
Lindsay says, hey, we're doing family photos. The shoot is on this day. You're wearing this. And we're full on bribing the kids. Like, we will pay you money if you smile and look like you're having a great time.
I'm going to call Lindsay because we have family photos coming up.
And so you'll see, if you see photos of our family, they're beautiful. And you go, what a happy family. We were fighting right before. There was some kind of debate going on. Exactly. Afterwards, we're like, why? Where did you get that candy from? You know, all that's happening. And then, okay, 1, 2, 3. Yep, everybody smiles. And so we're looking at everybody else's social media going, man, their life's perfect. There's a lot going on behind those photos. There's a lot going on that we don't see. And everybody's a mess. And everybody, everybody needs help. But when you're seeing all the reality of your life and you're seeing the presented reality, the false reality of everybody else, you go, we're failing at this thing.
Like, I really suck. Yeah. And you don't. Mm-hmm. The reality is that I think social media should show more of the realism of life, let's have a balance, people. I am not suggesting that we put our most horrific moments out there. But when it's a day, when it's like, you know, today kind of sucks, because this happened. Things happen to people, but people need to know that they're happening. Mm-hmm. And then this is what we do. Okay, I woke up and this happened. I tripped over my kid's toy and then I hurt my foot and but it was okay. I went for a walk. I took a breath. I didn't kill my kid or my dog. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's the realism of what happens in life, you know? And I think with teenagers and kids today, they're just bombarded with so many, like, they don't even know where to start to fight through things. You know, they don't even know if I'm fighting, if somebody's going to come shoot up my school. I don't know if I'm fighting what somebody's saying. Like, it's so many things coming at them at one time. And that's why it's important to allow them to talk and allow them to just kind of navigate through all these different thoughts that are in their minds at the time. Because that's what happens to us. Mm-hmm. We're like, oh, Jesus, wait a minute.
If there's a parent and they have a kid that wrestles with anxiety, and maybe it is, I'm afraid that this might happen, or it's a social anxiety or whatever, how does a parent help their kid who's dealing with that specific issue?
Yeah, anxiety is false. It's what you're projecting is going to happen. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm nervous that the building is going to fall down on me while I'm walking. Okay, has a building ever fallen on you while you're walking? No. Okay, where are you right now? In my room, I'm safe. So you have to come to the moment of what happened. So Sunday, my daughter was driving, great driver, and she calls me and she is almost hysterical. I'm like, what is wrong? And she's like, I was turning, a car almost hit me. And so then she's, you know, she's 17. Yep. So this is very frightening. A left-hand turn.
Yep.
She did what she was supposed to do.
She's got the adrenaline rush coursing through her
veins. Oh my gosh. So somebody, you know, barreled through. So I'm like, okay, baby, listen to me. Listen to my voice. I need you to breathe, right? Because I have to bring her to the moment. So then I called her dad and I was like, dad is on his way. She's like, okay. You know what I mean? But I had to bring her back to the moment. So even when I got back home, I said, baby, where are you? She's like, I'm home. You are safe. It is not your fault, right? So that's what you have to do with anxiety. You have to come to the moment, not the big situation.
All the what-ifs exist out there.
Not all of that. You're safe. And it's not even having the conversation of, well, what did you do? Can you tell me what happened? Because now I, as the adult, have to figure out, do we need to file a police report? Was there, you know, like, did he nick you? Like, what are you saying? You know what I mean? Like, but I have to figure it out slowly.
Yeah. You know? And one of the things that I think it's easy as a parent, when your kid's worked up, you get worked up with them.
Exactly.
And so even what you're describing is, okay, as an adult, I'm gonna live here in this calm demeanor, and we're just gonna deal with reality. Even if in your mind you're ready to go,
I'm like, sweet God, my baby.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna fight somebody. Right. You have to remain calm. You have to be the adult in that situation. Yeah.
And so when kids wrestle with anxiety, or even adults, you have to identify the moment you are in at the time. Is that happening right now? No. Has that happened? No, because typically it's something so astronomically large that you're like, what if I'm walking down the street and an asteroid just falls on me right now?
Okay. Odds are. Probably not.
Right? And I mean, I'm making it comical, but that's what happens. We just have to come back to the moment. What am I doing right now? I'm doing laundry. Did the washing machine explode? No, it did not. You're okay. You know, you can kind of finish.
Yeah, and that's the thing with mental health. It's not rational. But the feelings are real. And the sense of, because sometimes I look at my kids and I go, man, this is not a big deal. Well, in their world, it is. And in their mind, it is. And so understanding that, too, to give a little more sympathy in those moments to go, okay,
this is happening to you.
Yep.
And I have to understand that. And so Monday or whatever day was the next day, we went driving and I told her, I said, okay, here's what's going to happen. You're going to drive me to the store. And if you, I mean, the look on mm-hmm. her face, you could see the panic and the fear, mm-hmm. you know, and I was like, no, no, no.
We will make left turns once again.
And we are not going to let the enemy mm-hmm. win, because then he will perpetuate that fear in her. So she had to drive me so that she knows if I'm confident mm-hmm. with her driving. With me in the car, then I believe in her. So that's another piece of anxiety, that whatever it is, especially with your kid, you have to help your kiddo understand, I believe in you. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. So that kid now has something tangible. So then she was able to get up and drive to school and, you know, get back to functioning. But, oh, man, you that first look on her face was like, lady, I am never driving a car again, you know, mm-hmm. but we have to walk through to push through it, because the enemy will use it over and over and over again to keep us in this like paralyzed state.
Yeah, that's so good. So helpful. When I think about my kids, they're getting older. They're teenagers now. And I'm going, okay, I want to help control what's going into their minds, what they're consuming, what they're listening to, what songs they're singing out loud, you know, as they're getting ready, all of that. And there's a point where I realize I'm not in total control of this. How do mm-hmm. you coach? How do you help them choose wisely for themselves? Mm-hmm. How do you help a kid kind of go, okay, that's this. I see why this isn't good for me. I see why this is better for me. I want to choose this over this. Mm-hmm. How do you help get them there as a parent?
Yeah. One of the things I used to teach my kids when they were little, in Proverbs somewhere, Solomon talks about guarding your eye gate and your ear gate, because mm-hmm. what enters in gets into your heart. And Jesus tells us what's in your heart is going to come out your mouth. Mm-hmm. But how did it get into your heart? Through your eye gate or your ear gate.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so the enemy is cunning, because he uses music and we all think it's innocent, mm-hmm. you know, just dancing along. But I have my kids actually listen to the lyrics. Mm-hmm. So we're going to listen to what's being said. You know, I grew up in the 80s and we had groups like NWA and Forget the Police. That's the nice version. You know, and just mm-hmm. these very harsh mm-hmm. songs. And I mean, we're just jamming to them, man, you know, yep. and it's like women are this and they're this. And you're like, hey, I'm a girl. Why am I, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. singing these demeaning words? Mm-hmm. So I have them actually listen to the words of what they're saying. Mm-hmm. Why are you saying that? What does that reflect for you? And they're like, oh, yeah, that's kind of, you know, mm-hmm. because it's the beat mm-hmm. of the music, you know. I'm not saying they have to listen to worship music 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
There's things that they like. But I have them listen to things that do create more positive energy the negative energy, mm-hmm. you know, those negative thoughts that are coming in. We can't control it. They're school, the grocery store, yep. wherever, it's everywhere. But we're teaching them, why am I listening to this? What yeah. is this doing for me?
Yeah, there's the software engineering phrase of garbage in, garbage out,
exactly.
right? And the opposite is true, too. Goodness in, goodness out. Mm-hmm. To be thinking about, what is it I'm allowing into my headspace?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I think about, how do I protect that as much as I should, because
yeah.
the enemy, the strategy, the tactic of the enemy is to go after the mind,
yep.
is to get you. You mentioned loops and, you know, replaying certain things in your mm-hmm. head. And the more we can replay these lies, the more we'll believe them and the more mm-hmm. we'll act out on them. And so to think through, okay, what is actually going into my mind? One of the things, because of so many studies that have come out going, social media is really bad for teenagers. It's just, there's it not is. One study that goes, man,
this
here's all the benefits of social media. And so, and people listening might disagree with me on this and go, man, this is terrible. We full on bribed our kids. Years ago, I said, if you can graduate high school without having a social media account, we will give you a lump sum.
Yeah, and, no,
and,
for real.
And then we said to, you know, their siblings, and if you catch each other, because you guys will know before we do,
yeah.
and you rat them out, we'll give you half, and they won't get the
right. And they're like, hey.
And so they're all about it. And they're like, yes, this is easy money. I've been so glad that we've bribed our kids not hey. To be on social media, because it is a source where so many people struggle, mm-hmm. because it's not just social media on the surface. It's what it leads to. And
exactly.
And again, whether it's thought process or there's things on social media that are just so
Whoa.
Damaging and will take you down a path you didn't want to go down. And so that's something that we've just said, hey, we're going to bribe our kids in some
yeah.
areas, because I don't think they naturally will have that self-restraint.
No, they won't. Mm-hmm. No one does. Mm-hmm. I mean, hello. You're right.
Yeah.
So again, in Proverbs, it talks about it, something about like there's a city without walls. That's how your life is. So if your walls mm-hmm. are broken down in a city, then that city is easily conquered, right, when we think back to ancient times. And so our walls, if we don't have those protective mechanisms, like I am not on social media. People tell me I got off social media with Facebook. That's like how long ago it was. But for me, it was because I literally spent
hours. Did you have a MySpace?
I was not a MySpacer.
Oh, okay. All right.
I was not a MySpacer. But it was like hours. I found myself later like, it's been 3 hours and I have been scrolling and liking and scrolling. Like, this is ridiculous. So that was my boundary. And then with my kids, it was the same thing. It was like, okay, what are you doing with your time? And why are you looking at this? Are you learning something? Are you, what is it for? You know? And so they don't use it either. Like none of, they don't post things and, you know, whatever. Now, my daughter will send me stuff from the TikTok, which I think is funny. She keeps telling me to stop calling it the TikTok. It's like, it's just
that
TikTok
makes you
mom.
Want to do it all the more.
It's like the TikTok, you know, and sometimes there's fun little clips, you know, and things. And I know, like, from the church's standpoint, we can use it to touch people. We can reach people because that's where they are. And I get that. But for our kids, we do have to teach them how to set those boundaries, because you can literally go on a whole negative journey in your mind from scrolling through social media. You have not left your couch, you know, but you have this whole negative situation.
Even the name, TikTok.
Yeah.
Like, pause for a second.
I'm telling
that is,
you.
That is the sound of time
ticking
disappearing.
Away yes, when
that
you're scrolling. Seriously.
Which I do feel like at the end of our lives, we're going to look back and go, our most limited resource on this planet is time.
Is
our most
time.
Valuable resource on this planet
is time.
Is time. And everything that you've been talking about is how do we intentionally use the time that God's given us, whether it's going to be a long time, short time, we don't know, but we know that it's limited and we know that it's valuable. And God can use our time to really grow relationships, to help us coach our kids, to help us build friendships that are lasting friendships and impactful and make a difference in the world. Or we could just TikTok it away.
Exactly. And I tell people that all the time. Time is non-discriminatory. It does not matter. Age, race, biological set, it doesn't matter. Everybody gets 24 hours in a day. It depends on what you do with it. And I believe that you can invest time or you can spend time. So you can invest time walking with Emma to the store, you know, or whatever, or you can spend time scrolling through the TikTok. So the same time is there. It was the exact same hour. It just depends on how you used it. The time you invested in Emma is a seed that was sown that will reap a harvest, because she'll know my dad cared about me, my dad and I walked. And then as she gets older, I especially think about this with girls, because now she's going to have a standard. Wait, no, my dad walked with me to the store, dude. What are you talking about? You know, kind of thing. And that's what you're teaching her. And so even like with my daughter, when her dad showed up to get her when she was in this state, anyone who does not do that, she's like, oh, you know what I mean? So that time that he invested stopped what he was doing to go get her. Is time that
setting
she
a precedent.
Would, exactly. Versus spending time saying, oh, I'm gonna send an Uber. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And so time is one of those things where when we invest in our relationships with each other, it helps mental health because now I feel valued. That's what God, the whole Bible is about time. He's like, come worship me. Come sit with me. Come talk to me. I'm here. And then when you do that, it produces better things in your life, right? You have better harvest. Now my thoughts are clear. I'm not so scatterbrained. I'm not feeling down on myself like I'm the biggest idiot, you know, this side of the Serengeti because this is what somebody said, you know, I'm supposed to be doing on social media. No, God said I'm valuable. God said I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So when I invest time in the word of God, it produces better harvest in my life than necessarily spending time doing something that's not productive.
I love the word invest. I think that to me makes so much sense because if I'm going, okay, where do I start with my kids? Well, make investments each day. Choose intentionally to invest something. It might not be even a ton, but to go, I made an investment today, whether it was a conversation around a dinner table, debriefing the day at the right before bed, you know, when kids are trying to
do all things.
Not do anything but go to bed. To make those investments, lots of little investments over time add up. And there is a compounding effect of that where that'll grow.
And
there will be fruit from that. And so, yeah, the natural drift of life is to spend all of your time on meaningless things.
And I also think that it's distraction, right? Because we have to think the enemy is cunning. He has been watching humanity for thousands of years.
He knows this game way better than we do.
All day.
Yeah.
Right? He yep. knows every prophecy. He knows his time is short. Like, he knows. Mm-hmm. Right? And so if he can get us to be distracted mm-hmm. through the Instagram, the YouTube, the TikTok, like all day, just all these things. I was talking to my sister and she was telling me she watched some video that was 2 hours and 46 minutes. And I was saying to myself, I refuse mm-hmm. to give 2 hours and 46 yep. minutes of my life to something that is not going to benefit me.
Yeah.
It would be different if you were watching a teaching for 2 hours, you know,
yeah.
or
yeah.
some. I was like, you did what? And she was like, well, it was just interesting. There's not that much interest, I'm going to tell you right now, you know, yep. for me.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, that's 2 hours and 46 minutes mm-hmm. I can never get back.
Yep. Once you spend it, it's gone. That,
for what? What did you learn from it? You know, mm-hmm. kind of thing. And so that's why I think it is so important for us to think about mental health from that capacity of investing time.
Mm-hmm.
We all have the same amount of time, right? We don't know. Some people get 100 years, some people get 50, but whatever time you have 24 hours today mm-hmm. to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You have this time right now. So even like my kids told me to stop, but I used to text them throughout the day. But when they got in high school, I didn't know their, you know, their lunches change and mm-hmm. this day is a lunch and this day.
Yep.
And so my kids were like, Mom, stop. I'm going to get in trouble, mm-hmm. you know, because my messages go through
yeah.
in school. And they're like, stop it. But I would just send my kids like a little kissy face, you mm-hmm. know, or whatever. Let them know I'm thinking about them. And they leave so early in the morning because they're in high school mm-hmm. that sometimes they're gone. And I'm like, wait, what's happening here?
Yeah.
you know,
yep.
and they're busy, so they may not come home till late. And I'm like, no. I need to see my children mm-hmm. every day. And that's that little investment
yeah.
that we're making so they know you're looking out for them.
Yeah. Little investments make a big difference over time.
It does.
Speaking of time, we're out of time.
Oh,
I know.
Always go so fast.
Yep.
But we have such fun.
yeah. Dana, thank you so much for your wisdom and insight and sharing that with us. Would you pray for us?
Of course.
And then we'll wrap up.
Of course. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you again for this forum. We always appreciate an opportunity to share your word with people so that we can help change the generations for better. Father, as parents, teach us how to invest in our children time appropriately. Lead us to scriptures. Lead us to fun activities that we can do as family to build relationships so that our children know they have a safe place to talk about things that are trying to bombard them. We also thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers us. We thank you for your mercy and grace. We are so thankful that you give us so many resources to help us be successful in this life and walk out your blessings and touch the lives of those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Loving God, Loving People podcast. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you are listening so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this conversation, we'd love it if you rated the podcast and left us a review. Also, sharing this with a friend is a great way to help more people meet, know, and follow Jesus. And lastly, you are always welcome to join us online for one of our services every week at live.sv.cc or go to locations.sv.cc to join us in person at one of our physical locations. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.